Hello, and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and I'm gonna get me some Szechuan sauce. And with me, I have...
I'm Alex, and I am one short of a six-pack!
And...
I'm Morgan, y'all got gas money?
Aw, man, that's... That was the funniest thing to happen all day, even though it was a day full of bullshit, shootings, and we don't know if Tom Petty's still alive, because motherfuckers can't get their story straight.
They're saying he's still alive as of us recording this right now, so, you know, anything could happen by the time it goes up.
Anything could happen, yes. For example... You all could luck into some gas money to justify driving 30 miles from wherever it is you live in order to go to a McDonald's that has the Szechuan sauce this weekend. But I only have to drive about 15 minutes.
Well, bully for you.
And best part is, I'm probably going to record a video to post on the Surreal Rezo Twitter just to rub it in your faces. Also, because it's probably good for engagement, you know? Get us that quality, traffic and internet interaction for that premium content.
Whatever you say, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I wish I were watching interdimensional cable right now.
We all were. But the season's over, so now we have to wait, like, 2 or 3 years for more.
So 2019.
But hey, Mr. Poopy Butthole lived! And he has a wife, and a kid, and a GED!
Yay!
I just realized, I probably have graduated college by the time the next season comes around. And if that happens, who the hell am I going to discuss the show with? I don't have any friends outside of college. Wait, I don't have any friends in college either. Oh well, that problem solved itself.
And by the time it comes out, I might be 30.
Might be.
I'll turn 27 tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
Tomorrow, oh, boy!
Tomorrow, we encounter Mac 2.7, but for now, we're stuck with Mac 2.6.
Damn it! I was gonna make that joke, you bastard!
I've been working on that all week.
I bet you have.
Hobbisky!
But yeah, this is the birthday podcast for Mork, the birthday boy.
I'm the oldest person in this show.
Yeah.
That's why he's so much smarter than the both of us.
Yeah.
Then again, being smarter than me isn't difficult.
Yeah, you're the veteran here, and we're just waiting until December, which... Actually, our birthday's like 2 weeks apart, Rob.
Ah, right.
You're literally only 2 weeks older than me.
Woo! I'll take it. Plus, unlike you, I could celebrate with booze.
Must be nice to have a liver that doesn't exist.
That is true. So, anyway, how have things been going with you all this past week?
Pretty good. But I'm going to take this time to talk about something very important. The annoyances of commercial radio.
Oh, boy!
Everybody listening probably lives in the metropolitan area where there are radio stations. Said radio stations are often owned by a big conglomerate. And in my case, here in Charlotte, the big radio conglomerate that owns most of the radio stations is, of course, iHeartRadio. And seeing how my job entails me driving a van to and from the airport in the middle of the night, I don't have much options for the radio. So, you know, I keep it on, like, one or two stations, again, owned by iHeartRadio, and in every commercial break, for the past, I want to say 2 months, there have been nonstop commercials for the iHeartRadio Music Festival, Music's Holy Grail,
it's still a thing?
Yeah, okay. And everybody in Europe is saying hi to you and your bullshit. Not only that, but there's also a commercial where they're pretty much giving a humble brag over, we're so much better than Pandora because we offer this. Good for you, but who the fuck uses Pandora anymore?
Yeah, that's true. Who uses that anymore? Yeah, that's true.
iHeartRadio, y'all are annoying as fuck. I just want to hear some good music, maybe a morning show, but just cut out the bullshit with your commercials. That stupid-ass little wannabe jingle of yours just... Ugh. Yeah. Other than that, though, I've been okay.
Sounds like fun. Anything fun on your end, Mark?
I got a break chain, so no.
And there's been nothing going on with me either. Just catching up with some video games and music, and that's just it. There's been nothing exciting on my end. So much so that I think we might as well just jump to the new song discussion at this point. A minute earlier than usual. We're gaining efficiency. But yes, it's time for discussing new songs that came out this past week. And as always, there will be a playlist down in the description if you want to follow along with us. And so, starting from the top, this might shock a lot of you people, but we don't like the president.
No, we don't. In fact, we call him Fuckface Von Clown Shoes.
Yeah, we pretty much not a fan of President Reality Show bitch.
Yeah.
Yes. Lots of people aren't, especially in the music realm. Much so that it's even caused one band to come back from retirement. Well, okay, not really. I mean, they've been reunited for a while. They've been kicking it. But this is the first new song from this particular band in like 18 years. So think about it. In the time between, for the record, the band is the 90s grunge icons L7, probably the biggest grunge band outside of like the main four. In the time between their last new recorded material and this new song, a kid was born and matured all the way to adulthood. But it's still 3 years off from drinking. But, the first new song from L7 in 18 years, and of course, it's a song called Dispatch from Mar-a-Lago, aka why couldn't Irma have taken that place out instead of the fucking Western Coast? Goddamn. You were so close, Irma! But yeah, this song is, I'll admit I'm only familiar with a couple of L7 songs off the top of my head, but as far as this song, it sounds like the 90s pretty much never left. Those super fuzz-saturated guitar and bass chords, the fact that it's a pretty, you know, steady kind of punk-ish beat, the vocals, you know, everything is kind of coded in, like, you know, static and feedback and, like, just general noise and everything. Yeah, this sounds like some quintessential 90s grunge just recorded in the 2017s. Not bad, I kind of like it.
Mm-hmm. I love the song idea. It makes me a bit happy in the bad people deserve bad things kind of way. Not the biggest fan of the kind of synthetic drum sounds, though. It feels a little too digital for my taste.
Yeah, it did kind of have like a drum machine quality to it a bit.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's just because of, like, they prefer that kind of sound in their production, because from the songs I do remember, like, from the old days, there was that kind of bit of a flatness to the drums sometimes.
Yeah.
But we don't know if this is, like, for an album or anything. It stands to reason maybe they got something cooking, but we'll have to wait. They haven't posted any information outside of the song, so that covers that. Now, moving on. Okay, there's a trend that happens sometimes with bands that, like, bands and other artists that really annoys me. And tell me if you've ever encountered this. It's when a band releases the ending track from their album as a single.
Ooh.
I mean, even if it's a good song or a good album, I just don't like that. I mean, heck, I know Vince Staples did it with Rain Come Down off Big Fish there. And I'm like,
yeah, that's true.
Dude, you dropped two good singles. You don't got to spoil the ending, man. It's like, you think the Star Wars trailers put everything in the trailer? No. Instead, they put barely anything in the trailer, and everyone goes and sees it anyway because of brand recognition.
Yeah.
But in this case, we have the band Converge releasing the second new song from their upcoming November 3rd release, The Dusk in Us, and it's the album ending track, Reptilian. Now, here's the thing. Reptilian is a good song. It opens up with this very doomy guitar melody, you know, just starting off with that simple little singular guitar before the other guitar lines enter, you know, just creating the saturated, like, doomy atmosphere, which continues once, like, the distortion and the rest of the band kicks in. Then the song picks up tempo about, like, halfway through and kind of goes into this, like, 3-4 pounding rhythm type of thing. And the lyrics on this thing are especially killer, with probably my favorite line being, devils do not need a hell in order to exist, as the leader of the free world so clearly proves. and there's a particularly, like, there's a cleaner vocal passage that kind of offsets some of the heaviness, like, about 3 minutes in, and the closing of this thing just absolutely rips, which kind of upsets me, because you couldn't just leave this until November 3rd? Come on!
Yeah, that's how it goes. Yeah, this song sounds pretty doomy at the start, kind of slow and builds, and it's progressed into a super aggressive mouth puncher of a song. Which reminds me, have you punched a Nazi in the face today? Stir your country
X
proud.
Gonna give it to you. He gonna give it to you. X gonna give it to you.
Yes, nah. Be like Rick and Summer.
Well, I guess that spoils that surprise. Now we just gotta wait until to hear all the non-ending tracks November 3rd. But moving on to the week after November 3rd, November 10th. Now, Black Sabbath has played their last show, and they're probably not going to do anything big anytime soon. So, if we want to hear new Black Sabbath material or Black Sabbath influence material, I guess we'll have to get it from somewhere else. Thankfully, there's always been Electric Wizard, a personal favorite of mine in the sort of stoner doom type of genre. And they've been kicking it for a while, and they've announced their latest album, of course, titled Wizard Bloody Wizard. See what it did there? Coming out November 10th, and we have the first single from the album, See You in Hell, which, yeah, did we mention that this is Black Sabbath worship out the ass? Because yeah. It kind of is. The whole thing is built around, like, a kind of steady, grooving, fuzzy 6/8 kind of swinging thing to it that it almost kind of reminds me of, like, Sweet Leaf, for example, or, like, something off of, like, the first couple of Sabbath records. And it's pretty much like that throughout the entire song. Like, it just kind of drones on like that. And, you know, the vocals are kind of maybe a little bit more comprehensible than modern-day Ozzy, but it still sounds like it's that quintessential stoner metal type of thing. There is kind of a cool solo bridge type section where, like, the guitars layer on top of each other for even more psychedelic, trippy walls of sound with this kind of trippy, bluesy note progression to it. And, yeah, like I said, I mean, it's Electric Wizard. You kind of know what to expect at this point, but it's a satisfying song. I'm going to keep an ear out for this.
Mm-hmm. I'm adding these guys into my music backlog because this song impressed me. I want more of it. I'm really digging the 70s sludgy doom rock aesthetic they got going with the instrument and the vocal tones. It's made me thinking, is this recorded on analog tape, like a 16 track? Because it doesn't quite sound like this was recorded through digital software means. But if it is, then they made a very good job replicating it. Then, of course, there's the video. There's a video with the whole green screen Black Sabbath aesthetic to it.
Yep. These guys really like their Sabbath. We need you to know this because it's kind of subtle.
Yeah. And just think, these guys have been around since 1993.
Yep. They're about as old as I am. Hey boy. But now, moving on to non-metal music. Who plays FIFA? Anyone? Anyone?
I don't know.
A lot of people in Europe do. That counts for something.
Yeah, so FIFA, you know, it's the thing, like, everybody buys it, you know, obviously it gets put out by EA Sports, get the fuck out of my office. And of course, they always gotta have the big licensed soundtracks to go with it. And so, of course, Run the Jewels pop up on the soundtrack to FIFA 18. With a song called Mean Demeanor, because when don't these guys have recorded material out? I will say, the beat feels very appropriate. It kind of mixes, like, what you'd expect from the typical RTJ production style with that kind of thumping, stomp, clap kind of percussion beat that you kind of, like, in your head, you associate with, like, any kind of big sports event. It's like that, but with the typical, you know, RTJ flourishes with the synths and kind of like those little buzzy electric guitar lines here and there. And, of course, Killer Mike and LP are awesome. That's it. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, pretty... Yeah, you're going to say this song is good. It's, like, it's very fitting to the... You know, it it does have like that big sports anthem that that gets you in the mood to play win and do that shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Solid banger, solid buffer before RTJ4. Whenever that happens, as well as that Stack de la Rocha album that's gonna come out sometime soon. Really, is it really coming out? Please tell me it's coming out. Please tell me it's coming out.
I'm sure it'll come out.
Yeah.
At the same time as Rick and Morty season 4.
But this song, this does have the kind of beat I would expect to hear in a game like FIFA. Except for the Nintendo Switch version, which EA just sort of half-assed and threw out as a bone, saying, "Here you go, you little cheap bastards." Seriously,
to be fair,
No. You make a soccer game without online connectivity on your console? What the fuck, EA?
Well, I mean, dude, there's very clearly a logic to that, and the logic is that if you play FIFA, you don't have friends.
But you don't have friends, and you don't play FIFA.
There's an exception to every rule. That's for different reasons.
I'm sure it is.
EA Sports is in the game.
EA Sports. Give us your money.
But yeah, moving on from RTJ, that actually gives us a good primer into the Adult Swim portion of the broadcast, with not one, but two Adult Swim singles from this past week. First up, from this dark wave, sort of dark R&B-ish singer named Abra, who, now that I think about it, is actually performing at Three Points next weekend. I'll have to keep an eye out for that. And she's released upon us single number 21, a dark little track called Novocaine. And it certainly is the kind of song whose production is very numbing like Novocaine. It opens up with this kind of weird glitchy vocal pattern. Kind of have this drum and bass thing that's got some like touches of trap and this kind of gothic synth melody to it. That it's almost kind of like X-Files, but with like vampires or something. And even when it gets, like, past the halfway mark, there's, like, these really cliche, like, 80s as hell drum machine effects. Like, I'm pretty sure they just bumped out the 808 for some of that stuff. And, for a kind of moody piece that you could just kind of vibe out to, yeah, I can groove with this, man.
It's weird as shit, first of all. But it's still something to vibe by.
Yep.
Although, I heard one track from this person before, Abra, a long time ago when I was just, fucking around on Spotify looking for, just for music overall. But I'm like, they sound good. Maybe I might hear more from them someday. And, I did hear another song from them, which is this one. Pretty good song.
And now, moving on to Adult Swim single number 22, probably one of the bigger surprises. Want to take this one away, sir?
Yeah, I'll take this one. So we all like Shabazz Palaces, right?
They're cool. I like them.
And we can say we like Wanchus Point Never, right?
He is very good.
Now, did you expect something like a collaboration between Wanchus Point Never and Ishmael Butler? Which, wow, that's something that seems like a very weird but promising combination.
Actually, proposing those two together, I'd say this is something that should have happened a while ago. But that would never happen now, right?
You think so, motherfucker?
Yeah!
But yeah. So Wanchus Point Never and Ishmael Butler as 319, which, where'd that name come from again? I don't know.
Yeah, I looked it up. I don't think it has anything to do with anything as far as like a year or an area code or something, but continue. Yeah.
So there is a track where those called The Rapture. And I will say if you mix in, Wanchus Point Never's, let's say if you mix up Wanchus Point Never's, it's very ambient, weird production along with, Ishmael Butler's cryptic lyrics that you're probably thinking, what's he saying? You're going to get this, this is very interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those, it feels like it's a more subdued kind of 106 Point Never vibe. Like, it definitely seems like he's trying to meet Ishmael halfway, although it certainly has one of those some of those One Ok Trix isms, like with like the frayed kind of arrhythmic string synth pattern things, and just that general moody off-kilter atmosphere. And yeah, I don't get the lyrics either. Again, it's that usual very cryptic style of lyricism, but they sound like they're trying to narrate something. They generally sound very verbose and descriptive, but I'm very bad at like zeroing in on meaning, as you can so clearly tell.
Yes. Like I said, this is one very interesting track to hear. To hear from this too. I wonder if maybe they might put Mount and me like a small EP together anytime soon. Like just that. Like, I mean, I can imagine it.
Yeah. Now, seriously, is this just like a one-off thing? Is this just gonna be like woke? It just gets left into the ether forever.
Woke. I forgot about that. Damn, it is almost like woke. It's like one and done.
We need more. But moving. Go ahead.
Yeah. Speaking of collaborations, let's get on to the next Doom. Wait, what? Hold up. I'm reading this shit.
What's happening with Doom and Adult Swim, guys?
So, we have a Doom track here, but technically it's not part of the Missing Notebook rhymes, because after track 7, they all went off the site. Now, the sort of reports are a bit conflicting, as in, it's not clear whether Adult Swim cut ties with Doom, or Doom cut ties with Adult Swim. And before you say, isn't that the same thing? No. Order matters. Because I don't think Adult Swim would just, like, cut off Doom like that, you know? Yeah. We're not talking Death Clock here.
Mm-hmm.
Adult Swim would Doom have been peanut butter and jelly almost like a decade. The first time I heard something about Doom, it was on the Boondocks.
Yeah. And, like, not to mention, there's been this...
And Danger Doom, too. I forgot. Yeah, them, too.
Not to mention, there's been this theory passed around that supposedly the whole thing was actually just a big troll moment, with the big pieces of evidence being, one, many of the lyrics from these tracks apparently bear resemblance to other Doom tracks, whether they be on, like, his albums or just demo shit that just kind of crops up here and there. And also, apparently, if you look at the coding in the page for the site, or if you ever did back when that was up, there was apparently an entry for a song called I Lied, or It Was All a Lie, featuring, quote, Jason Marco.
Doesn't that name of a certain somebody who's on Adult Swim, who can that be?
Yeah, it's just a mystery, people.
Yeah. But, now we'll never hear those Missing Doom tracks. And that means,
not necessarily. If you look around hard enough, you can find, rips of the songs and
the rest of the tracks that were unreleased. We'll have to remain missing. Damn, that means I hear no Doomstark shit.
We'll never know.
Okay, anyway, before we get on track, the song that would have been on the tracks is another collaboration that Doom made. This song with rapper Westside Gunn, which I hear a little bit of him. It's like, I liked him a bit. Anyway, they made a song called Gorilla Monsoon. And I'm gonna say this right now, I wish it ain't in it, cause out of all the songs I heard from Doom as of recent, this one might be my favorite.
It's so good.
and I will say both do the Doom and Westside Gunn, who probably stole the show from me more, because I really like his rapping on here, especially when you go like, "Hey yo, Fly God," I'm like, "This is some grimy East Coast, I mean East Coast rap shit that I particularly love hearing. And this is definitely, especially with what it sounds like, some of it sounds like, you know, sort of like a horror film, but more, you know, but with drums. But anyway, but yeah, I will say this, Westside Gunn did his damn thing here. I like Dune's contribution here. I definitely fuck with this track all day long.
Once again, this is one of those songs where you can literally see the purple kanji for menacing. They were floating out of my computer. It actually freaked me out a bit. I had to make sure there wasn't anything creepy in there, like an enemy stand. And by the way, wear Supreme Louis gloves eaten scampi. I don't know what that means, but it just sounds cool.
So yeah. So yeah, if you're gonna end it on this, at least you're on a good note. Oh, and by the way, these guys figure do an album soon, but yeah, we don't know when either, because with Doom, we don't know, you know, how the fuck he works. It might be, I mean, most people still want Matt Villainy 2. That ain't, I don't think that's gonna be a thing. Damn, I love Doom, but damn, you love teasing the fuck out of us.
He loves taking his sweet ass time, is what he loves doing.
Hence why he's a supervillain.
And speaking of things that feature Doom, our last song, or rather songs this week. Okay, so as we mentioned last Thursday, Adult Swim had yet another musical project in the pipeline, dropping from rapper IDK, sub-project titled I Was Very Bad, which is about apparently like a 10 or 12 track album. New songs will drop like every Thursday or so, and this first batch of songs we'll be talking about, the first three tracks, so it starts off with this song called Mrs. Lynch, Your Son is the Devil. It opens up with a flurry of various voiceovers just layered over and over, kind of like how you're remembering a bunch of conversations with various people talking to the supposed Mrs. Lynch about, well, her son. The son in question, we can assume, is, like, IDK.
Yeah.
And then once it actually gets into the song proper, it's this very dark, synthetic beat with this kind of, like, R&B-ish vocal group singing, you know, you gonna be bad forever, just kind of over and over.
Yeah.
And then when IDK kicks in, he just comes in like a fucking force of nature, both in his flow and his actual lyrics, asserting, kind of giving like an overview of what you're gonna expect in the tracks forward, mostly around the theme of how he's a fucking dangerous asshole. To put it in his own words, literally the only one to go to jail in my family's history.
Oh, yeah, that's very much present in this song. I like the way it just started with those, like, Mrs. Lynch, your son is fucked up. He's suspended. Get his ass now.
Yep.
It's a good start to, I mean, to an interesting album. And that leads up to, there's another track called Maryland Ass Nigga.
Featuring Swiss Beatz.
Is he any only on the hook, I think. He don't actually rap.
Yeah, the actual hook is kind of the weak part of the song, which is how you can tell Swiss Beatz it's on it. Just this weird auto-tune thing that kind of, it almost kind of feels like it clashes a bit with the rest of the song, because I'll admit, the beat on this one, it kind of reminds me of the song Jamba by Tyler, the Creator. Maybe that's just because the attitude and motif of the lyrics also reminds me of, like, you know, pre-Cherry Bomb Tyler albums. I get kind of that attitude a bit.
Yeah, like, I did notice, like, there's some weird, somewhere tangents. I expect something from a Swiss Beatz produced song, which the more I listen to it, this seems kind of off a bit, but not off putting to the song. It's like, the song's still good. I do feel like Swiss Beatz just feel like, I don't know, like, put in there in the last minute.
Yeah. Kind of a weird thing to do, but there's other songs. I'm sure this will be like a sort of just awkward sophomore bump, and I'm sure the rest will be good. And then we have the last of the three tracks, Pizza Shop, which features Young Gleesh.
Young Gleesh.
Doom. You know, because he was doing something, clearly. And Del the Funky Homo Sapien.
Oh yeah. So Shaq, the reason why Shaq is like the other song, Baby Scale, this song does break into two parts. Like, you get the first part where it sort of feels like a trappish beat, at least to what Sonny's rapping on, and then the second part you do get this other sound, this other type of sound, which features the features of Doom and Dale the Funky Homo Sapien, both those dudes work well on here. Actually, like Dale's part at the end.
Yeah, so we're already off to a pretty solid start. We'll be sure to check in with the next three tracks when they drop sometime this week, and that'll about cover it for the new song discussion this week. So we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, a couple news topics, a couple fun little diversions. You'll know what they are. Neo Reesh. See you in 30 seconds. And we're back. We only have two main news topics to actually discuss here, and both of them follow a very similar theme. That theme is, yeah, science, bitch!
Science.
Yeah.
And the first of these is about B.O.B. Fuck.
Oh, Bobby Ray himself.
Yes. So last time you heard from B.O.B., he raised a little bit of a dust up after releasing a song about how Earth is actually flat, some shit about superior bloodlines and reptile people or whatever, which led to the weirdest thing to ever happen in the 21st century so far, a rap beef with Neil deGrasse Tyson. And Bob lost, as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, Mr. B.O.B. has apparently still not let go of this whole flat earth thing. In fact, he's gone so far as to, as of this past week, or specifically September 21st, he launched a GoFundMe campaign to fund satellites to launch into space to find evidence that the earth is flat. Because apparently, we don't already have satellites from, like, NASA and shit. Oh, no, wait, NASA is just a bunch of, like, Jewish reptiles or whatever. They wouldn't know what they're talking about. But, yeah, okay, so... okay, so according to this article I'm reading here, it says that he was seeking $200,000, but the actual, upper limit on this thing says he's seeking $1 million. So, is it, like, $200,000 per satellite? Is $5 million, like, his top goal here?
Either way, he's only raised $6,000 in a week and a half.
And there ain't...
$6,035.
Yeah. Oh, right. like the extra $35 makes a difference.
Yes, it does. You could buy a copy of, like, fucking ukulele with that $35. And that would be a much wiser investment than this bullshit.
And I can tell there is no way in hell that's getting to that goal.
No lie. I kind of almost want it to, just to see what's actually going to happen afterwards. Is it going to nut up and fall through, or is it going to keep all that money and say, oh no, I'm using it for, like, I don't know, weed or recording an album that no one's going to give a shit about?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I have so many questions. Like, number one, how is this still a thing? People who think the Earth is flat, when satellite images have proven that no, it is a gigantic round little ball atop of a majorly infinite universe within a much larger multiverse. We've established this.
Some people, remember, Alex, Jewish reptiles.
And
some people are fucking stupid.
Yeah, and I sure can't wait for B.O.B. to have a collab with Alex Jones talking about how he's a pioneer! Or some stupid shit like that.
There's chemicals in the ozone that are making the birds gay.
Like, and secondly, this whole notion about how people are guarding the edges so people don't fall off. Why? That's
like, you say that, Mr. B.O.B., you say that like it's a bad thing. I mean, again, assuming Earth is flat, do you want people to fall off the edge? I mean, I assume it's if it's people you don't like then sure, I'd believe that, but...
If that's the case, how does orbit work? Answer that, Mr. B.O.B.
We don't orbit. Remember, the Earth is the center of the universe. Galileo's a bitch.
Galileo, what did he ever do, right?
Yeah, stupid dumb science bitch couldn't even make I more smarter. Dude, this guy's fucking Charlie Kelly, I swear to God. Let's feed him some milk steak and see what happens.
And cheese, don't forget cheese.
Grilled Charlie. But let's move on to something that's cool in a really weird way. Now, as the famous poet laureate Sir Kendrick Duckworth said earlier this year, I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Now, this was of course off the smash hit album Damn from the song appropriately titled DNA. Now, what if I told you that you could have DNA inside of your DNA? Literally.
Dang.
No, really? Nothing? No one thinks that's cool?
I'm thinking about
I'm skeptical. Sell me on this. I'm interested.
Well, there is a company out there, a company called Twist Bioscience that specializes in the art of DNA synthesis, announced that it's working in conjunction with both Microsoft and the University of Washington, to learn how to encode songs in DNA. Two songs in particular that are the big subject, Tutu by jazz great Miles Davis, and da 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 da. Smoke on the water, son. Now, for this specific experiment, they're using archival recordings taken from the Montreux Jazz Festival. Let me just double check the embed here.
How yes, appropriate.
At least for the Miles Davis one, they're taking from live at Montreux in 86. I assume Deep Purple was there too, or maybe it was a different performance. Now, this project, lest you think it's crossing some kind of legal boundaries, this is actually endorsed by longtime Montreux associate Quincy Jones, who thinks this shit is apparently cool as fuck. Now, as far as the process of this, quote, "The process of encoding archival recordings on DNA requires binary code to be converted into the language of DNA, which, for those of you who slept through your high school but general biology courses, DNA is encoded with four different nucleobases, cytosine, guanine, adenine, or thymine, ATCG. I remember that much. Mm-hmm. Now, as said by Karen Strauss, PhD, senior researcher at Microsoft, the amount of DNA used to store these songs is much smaller than one grain of sand. Amazingly, storing the entire 6-petabyte Montreux Jazz Festival's collection would result in DNA smaller than one grain of rice.
Damn.
I'm telling you, man, the singularity is going to be fucking awesome.
So,
betcha.
So, seeing how we've come so far as to encode music into DNA, how long until we start recording music on water?
You say that like it's already happened. Has it happened? I bet it happened. That would be cool shit.
It did happen. Death Clock did it. Shit. And then they drank the water. And they couldn't bother with the water.
Yeah. Ah, those guys are dumb.
Yeah. This one made a vinyl record on weed, or was it a vinyl record made of weed?
Yes,
slightly stupid. But that shit's just fucking, like, extremely stupid and dumb and is not impressive in the slightest. Yeah. This shit is fucking cool. Like, forget, like, the Montreux archives. How much of how much DNA do you think it would take to store my entire musical library? Because that'd be fucking neat. Mm. It's like Mordecai once said, you can't touch music, but music can touch you. Mm-hmm. Or it just swims through your veins and some shit. I don't fucking know.
so kind of interested in my veins.
Probably. I mean, hey man, you can do whatever the hell you want. But yeah, that's... I wonder how this is actually going to, work once we actually have to... Like, can they... How this will work to encode it in humans? Like, are we all... Is this all gonna be like some Ghost in the Shell shit? Like, is everyone gonna have fucking USB drive, like, openings implanted in their foreheads? Oh. Or some shit?
this could be weird and so... And now I'm picturing me inserting the hard drive into myself. I'll play music by Yoko Kano. Yeah.
You gotta now have the entire Doom discography just swimming in your brain juices.
Now I'm thinking of Morty's Mind Blowers, except it'll be music Mind Blowers. We'll have these little tubes we'll put into our helmets, and we'll just immerse ourselves in the music.
And we'll be doing this instead of interdimensional cable.
Yes, but it'll also give us a chance to experience music through memories. Sort of like going back in time to discover these music.
Yes, nice segue. So this one is not a news article per se, but it's a fun little activity that we decided we'd partake in. So within the past few days, Spotify launched this new feature, this new playlist thing called Time Capsule. To read it straight off the app here, Your Time Capsule by Spotify, we made you a personalized playlist with songs to take you back in time. So basically, I guess it kind of reads like your saved songs and playlists and shit to see what exactly you were bumping back in the day. So out of curiosity, me and Mark, Alex is sadly excluded from this because Spotify didn't want to cooperate with him, we decided to take a look at our own time capsules and see how close it came to matching our own tastes. So, Mark, you want to go first?
Okay. Well, okay, yeah, go first. Since you got 30 songs, so I'll just go by, they'll go by one by one or some shit.
I guess just say the ones that are the most accurate and then ones that are total bullshit.
Let's see. There's Shook Ones Part 2 of Mobb Deep RP Prodigy. Yeah, that's accurate. The Vast Name by Ice Cube, accurate. Let's see, So Many Tears by Tupac, alright, yeah. Whole Cakes by MF Doom off of Food. Yeah, yep. Okay, we got some Outkast, some Busta Rhymes. I got the song Gala from the Scrubs episode of my musical.
That's what it is.
There's nothing gay about it in our eyes.
That's the best.
All right, and there are any songs that I hate. It just feel either like sort of, well, not maybe a bit weird, but then again, know me, yeah, I would probably listen to them like. I got the song Feeling All Around by Washed Out, aka That Thing You Heard on Portlandia.
Oh yeah, that one.
And also got the song Bulls on Parade by Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, is there something you're not telling us here? Did Mark have a phase?
I might have plenty of phases, yeah. Yes, is.
So, okay, that's...
Yeah.
Kind of interesting. So, okay, so you have to put a percentage on it. How much out of 100 do you say this matches with what you were bumping back in the day?
I say about, I'm gonna say 80, 85. You know what, fucking 85.
Not bad. Yeah, good on you, Spotify. Yeah. Your algorithms are sort of working now. Yeah. But now let's move on to my time capsule, which opens right off the bat with a band I've never even really paid that much attention to, No Hardcore Dancing in the Living Room by Chiodos.
Huh?
I mean, right? idea wrong band. But on the other hand, there is Blindfolds Aside by Protest the Hero. Yes. Angry Mob Justice by The Acacia Strain. One of These Days by Architects. So, okay, a couple of these I haven't listened to the bands or songs per se, but there is the kind of general metalcore oeuvre here. Helena by My Chemical Romance. A couple more Protest the Hero and Acacia Strain tracks. Clint Eastwood by Gorillaz and Misery Business by Paramore.
Okay.
Technically not my high school years. This is more middle school, but I'll count it. A Favor House Atlantic by Coheed and Cambria. All right. Two Hookers and an Eight Ball by Mindless Self-Indulgence. Yes. Of course, Feel Good Inc. by Gorillaz. Fuck the Pain Away by Peaches, which not what I was not listening to Peaches in my high school years, but I'll allow it. It's a good song. IEAIAIO by System of a Down. El Chupanibre by Danger Doom.
Oh.
Which is interesting, but I'll admit I didn't listen to the Danger Doom album until, like, college. Oh, God. This is technically going back to grade school. Now, I say she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke niggas. Okay, Showstopper by Danity Kane, no. Okay. Paper Wings by Rise Against, which I heard some Rise Against back in high school, not this song. Infinity Guitars by Sleigh Bells, again, that was more a college thing. Stronger by Kanye. Ooh, Face Down by the Red Jumpsuit Apparatus, that's a good one. Welcome to the Black Parade, classic, fucking classic. God, what are they doing throwing 30 Seconds to Mars, a good Charlotte in here? Just that some... Oh my God, they have the club mix of Jaquan's Tipsy.
Oh, man, I remember that song back in the day.
They also got Drop It Like It's Hot, Drop It Like It's Hot.
Oh, Suit Long and For Real.
So the thing is, like, half of these songs so far are like, there's some that I was actively listening to and others that were more like background soundtracks. Like, I didn't actively seek them out or anything. Alaska by BT Bam. Yeah. Oh, what the fuck is Data Remember doing here? Get that trash out of here. Shake That by Eminem and Nate Dogg.
Oh, that's... Oh,
Shake That. Oh, on the floor, Shake That. Yeah, that one.
Hold up. No. No, that's a different one, because... Oh, yeah, that's also one of... You know, one of... Yeah, it's that... It's not a good Eminem track, but then again, it's on that, it's yeah. During that whole Eminem's yeah. Not good. And wow.
Oh, just yeah. Lose it. Ah, that phase.
Yeah.
And no, also, Alex, stop.
Also, I miss Nate Dogg.
Yeah. Anyway, moving. Oh, fuck off. Who the fuck put Wolf Mother here? I fucking hate that band. They're so goddamn annoying. And it's Joker and the Thief. Fuck you.
Yeah, the one song everybody knows from them.
Yeah, because
it was in Jackass number 2.
Wait, I thought Woman was the one song everyone knew from them because it was a fucking Guitar Hero 2.
Oh, okay, so they know 2 songs from them.
I think I remember her hearing them from Shoot 'Em Up.
In the End by Linkin Park. Again, sort of in the background. Oh boy, Mr. Brightside by The Killers. It all started with a kiss. How did it end up like this? Santeria, which I think that song is so fucking overrated.
Yeah,
I really agreed. Do. Fallout Boy. Now we're getting there. Sugar, We're Going Down. Numb Encore with Jay-Z in Linkin Park. Oh my God, guys, they put the meme song in here. They put the meme song in here, guys. Somebody wants to the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool sometimes in the shit.
I'm blaming you there. For that, Tyler.
Sometimes they would add that on there.
Hey, what's... Hey, Tyler had nothing to do with this. I mean, he does have good taste in meme music, but other than that... Blink-182, All the Small Things. I Write Sins, Not Tragedies. Okay, that was a big one. There's Hey Ya and It Wasn't Me.
Wait, Hey Ya by Out.
Chop Suey, of course. The Middle by Jimmy Eat World. Oh, fuck off, Third Eye Blind. You and your overrated one-hit wonder. buy you a drink and yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I kind of miss Buy You a Drink. That's a guilty pleasure song for me.
From T-Pain, right?
And Young Jock. The first of the young rappers, I think. I don't fucking know.
Oh, yeah. I forgot he was a thing.
So, I actually think this playlist is kind of interesting in a really weird way because, like, half of it is songs that I actively seeked out and listened to. You know, Protest, Coheed. Shit, I think I skipped over, did I mention there was Bullet for My Valentine in here?
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it was from their first album, even though I didn't hear that one until, like, way later. I was more like, God, what was the second one?
Yeah, that one.
Scream, Aim, Fire, I think that was the one.
Yeah.
So, interestingly, half of these songs are ones that I did actively seek out, but the other half are ones that, weirdly enough, just kind of always existed in the background, whether it was in the radio on, like, the drive to school, or just, like, whatever everyone else around me was listening to. So, I'd say this playlist is about, it's weirdly, like, close to 100%, although if we're only talking the stuff that I did actively listen to, it's more like 50-50. Hmm. Although I'm very insulted that they put Wolf Mother in here. Fuck you. But now let's move on from the time capsule to one other fun thing here. I was supposed to actually do this last week with Alex and his boys on podcast O&A, but for some reason Comcast decided to pull the plug like a minute before I was supposed to get in that call.
Yeah. So right before we started, internet went out.
Now we're about a week late on this, but time for everyone to get out their big Toblerones and proclaim the love of communism forever. It's Neo Yokio.
Oh boy.
This thing. And this, you know, much like your boys over on podcast O&A, I have no clue where to start with this fucking thing.
I ain't got no idea how to.
How about we start with the fact that this was supposed to be a Fox ADHD show, and that got canceled. It was sat on the shelf for 2 years. Now, then it shows up on Netflix 2 weeks before actually going live.
Yeah, there's that. But you can definitely tell this is like an ADHD production because of just how shoddy everything looks. It's so. Again, it really is just cheap as hell. Like, if Totally Spies had less of a budget. Or if Kappa Mikey had delusions of grandeur.
And the fact this comes from three anime studios, well, technically Herb Adventure IG is their U.S. branch that
is involved. As well as the, I'm guessing, now defunct Friends Night Studio, which...
Yeah.
They're not around because ADHD is canceled, and Nick Weidenfeld works for Viceland now.
Which explains how they got Deezus and Mero in this.
Yeah. I figured, yep. And the thing is, watching this show, they the only funny motherfuckers that you like on there.
Yeah, that I'll admit, like, okay, so their characters in this show... They play Lexi and Gottlieb, the humorous, wisecracking sidekicks to the main character of Kaz Kan, played by How Can Mirrors Be Real If Our Eyes Aren't Real? And it's because I'm not firsthand familiar with these guys, but looking at their credits, they've literally never done a project apart from each other. So I'm guessing, almost kind of like Key and Peele, they built this really tight, deep comedy chemistry with each other, and that definitely shows through like a lot of the wisecracks and their weird harebrained schemes like Caprese Martinis or talking shit about old money fuck boys.
and that's me who has watched their show on Viceland, which is real good, by the way. About late night show one day. These two are definitely the strongest component of the show.
Then there's everything else, so...
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. There's one other thing. The moment where those two fall into a pool and...
Oh,
one turns into a woman, one turns into a panda. Much like Rama 1/2. And fun fact, that episode was directed by the guy who directed Rama One Half, because I don't know why.
I guess they must have given Junji Nishimura a big enough bag of money to deface his career like this. But I suppose we should actually jump into the plot, I guess. Which, yeah. Okay, so as we mentioned, Kaz Kan, Jaden Smith, this magistocrat who specializes in being, you know, high class, you know, 1% asshole who also exercises demons for a living, but wants to just stay away from that and just spend the rest of his life being, I don't know, a fucking big dick swag master who gets all the bitches while wearing the finest midnight blue suits.
I have a feeling this is what Bad and Bougie was about.
Yeah, I'm almost surprised they didn't just, like, drop that song somewhere in the, like, you know, as soon as they have, like, I'm surprised they didn't just, like, soundtrack the pool scene with, like, or that episode with Raindrop. Drop top. Glop. And so he's doing that. He's trying to, you know, maintain a position on, like, Neo Yokio's leaderboard rankings for, like, most eligible bachelors with his enemy, played by Jason Schwartzman. And, you know, I just realized something. So this series, it uses a lot of classical music, you know, as its soundtrack pieces.
Yeah, it's royalty-free.
It has the same kind of vivid pastel color scheme as something like the Grand Budapest Hotel. Jason Schwartzman is in it. This is what would happen if Wes Anderson gave up and became Filthy Weeb Trash.
Damn.
Which, thank God, he hasn't yet. Instead, he's just making stop-motion movies about talking dogs. By the way, movie of 2018 confirmed. And so, you know, you have that. He's got his rivalry going with the Schwartzman who's playing, what the fuck is this character's name again? Something really
Arcangelo.
Arcangelo.
Arcangelo. Oh my god, that sounds like a Bayonetta enemy that got rejected for being too dumb. So he's trying to deal with that. He's also very sad because, like, a relationship of his dissolved or something. And yeah. I guess he's trying to start a fling with the world's most famous fashion blogger, Helena St. Tessario, which I want to point out something here. Okay, so according to the cast list, she's voiced by some chick named Gabby Tevenson. And this is going to lean to a bigger point about, like, the voice acting in this thing, but okay, it's not the same voice actress as a certain character that I'm about to bring up, but for whatever reason, Gabby plays Helena like she's a really emo version of Princess Carolyn. Try to tell me you can't unhear that. Yeah, and if you're wondering about, given this quality of story and production, I'm sure the voiceovers are just all top-notch here. You know, it's just, it's so good, just so good. You get quality line reads, like, shit, what was the fuck? There's so many dumb lines in here, I'm not even sure which one to quote. Mostly on the side of Kaz. You got anything, boys?
Nothing I can really recite off the top of my head, but I'm sure a quick Google search will fix that.
So, you know what? You don't deserve this big Toblerone. It's sort of like that, just that level of disaffected bullcrap. And also, God, what was the other line? I'm trying to remember something here. Something about, like, spiraling into a pit of depression before breakfast or something?
Here it is. Sorry, guys, but I can barely navigate the hellish vortex between breakfast and dinner. I can't see that with a straight face. I'm sorry.
And don't forget, as you all know, I've been deep in depression recently. And he just, like, got his tennis squad around.
Yeah. Yo, it's a squad. I've been deep depression. I've been depression lately.
Oh, yeah. Arcangelo. I'd recognize your shitty voice anywhere.
But, yeah, I'm sure this show makes sense, like, once you've swallowed a few Caprese martinis, which, oh my god, that sounds fucking disgusting.
Yeah, I'm like, this man, so basically, I'm just eating a drink version of I'm drinking an alcohol version of a salad, which I may not like at all.
Is it like Clamato, but like with booze? God. I don't even know who likes Clamato.
Coco Chanel, may her memory be blessed.
Oh my god.
I would say, like, the voice acting is trash.
And don't forget that one chick, the one who, like, sang the national anthem, but then...
Sailor Pellegrino, that kid, the most country... How you gonna sound like a fucking country hick?
That's some Dolly Parton shit right there. Like, is that supposed to be, like, some kind of joke about, like, okay, you know how, like, British actors will get starring roles at American TV shows and they completely change their accents? Like, you know, the main dude who plays Rick on The Walking Dead. Is this supposed to be, like, the opposite of that?
I guess
1 billion albums. 1 billion albums.
Jeez, she probably ranks as, like, the 7th biggest economy in the world.
With no features?
Yep, just right behind Death Clock.
Yeah, suck it, J. Cole. She's gone diamond multiple times with no features. Yeah, and just, like... If it just sounds like we're hopping around, it's because I'm not even really sure what the story here is supposed to be. Like, I guess it's supposed to be about Kaz's...
Exorcist or some exorcist shit or, I don't know, like, just him fucking around. Like, him trying to get on top of the world and get some, I don't know, try to get fame, but I don't know, fuck bitches, I don't know.
Like, there's that, there's also, like, his disillusionment, I guess, with the life of being Neo Reese or whatever. There's also, like, the Exorcist stuff, and then some weird plot line near the end where Steve Buscemi plays, like, Tuxedo Mask or whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't get what his deal is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just kind of, like, this show doesn't really have, like, a plot, although it kind of pretends that it does. It just kind of, like, weirdly meanders from, like, episode to episode. And
It just does shit for the sake of doing shit.
And there's, like, some random plot point where it turns out the robot is actually just some old lady, like, piloting it. Because they couldn't just, like... Why would you need someone piloting a robot that big? I mean, it's... Okay, it's a robot that's only about... A few feet taller than Kaz. It's not like we're talking the fucking RX-78 or whatever.
I mean, it's not like it's a big Taiwan-ass Gundam or anything like that. It's like about the size of a taller version of Shaq.
Just about, yeah.
Yeah.
And like...
And we know who to thank for this. Vampire Weekend frontman Ezra Koenig.
It's like, you could... Like, okay, I know this just ended up being a dump job because of reasons, but, like, I can't even imagine, like, he gave a shit about this even when it had a chance of making it to ADHD. It's like, I'm not sure what the point is. It just kind of limps from plot point to plot point. And, okay, seriously, what was the deal with Steve Buscemi? Someone explain that to me. I'm waiting.
I barely even know. I don't know.
I don't know. He's just a bad guy who... plays the cat and mouse game way too long, and it just becomes annoying.
Yeah, it's like, man, this show.
Can I say I really don't give a shit about Cass? I mean, Cass' relationship, I was like, oh, my girlfriend left me. Yeah, she left to pursue a better career.
Yeah, they all suck. And they're all fucking terrible.
Plus, like I said, like, the only characters I actually like are his best friend or Cass's friends. That's it. Like, or Angela, I want to fucking choke with a fucking vice. I want to choke and get a vice and kick him in his nuts with a vice grip.
Vice. I see what you did there. But even then, they find a way to sort of undo that, because in the Ron Mahaff episode, Lexi, I think it's Lexi, he's the one that turns into a woman, and then. Yep. When they have to go to a party later that Kaz somehow gets invited to, and it basically ends with Lexi trying to make out with a lesbian, and then coming up with like weird roundabout justification for it, which just fucking hell, dude. Like, don't throw trans people under the bus like that, you dipshit.
Oh shit, that's right. What about that?
Like, whoever wrote this is bad, and you should feel bad. And I bet it's Ezra Koenig or Nick White something. Wait, wasn't there, like, one episode here that was written by, like, fucking Nick...
The first one?
Nick Weidenfeld co-wrote the first two episodes.
Oh. Thankfully, he kept his name off this then. Good. Way to keep your reputation slightly clean.
Yeah.
But, jeez, it's just kind of like... You know what the weirdest part about the show is? Is that the actual experience of it is actually weirdly kind of boring.
Yeah.
I watched it at, like, 2 in the afternoon, the day after it came out. I finished by about 4:35, and I was like, I'm not even sleepy, and I feel like taking a nap right now.
Well, I can say this, like, I've been this whole thing, I'm like, I'm going to forget about this in a week or so.
Yeah. This
I mean, is... I don't feel angry, I just feel bored. Like, really, really bored.
I'm sure there are people who are going to watch this and find some enjoyment out of it, like everybody Nick Weidenfeld's been retweeting in the past 2 weeks. We're not those people. We don't really see much value in a dead project like this, and yeah, let it gather dust on Netflix for the rest of the time.
Yeah, I'm just going to say this, like, unless I like Deason Merrill, I can watch Deason Merrill on Viceland, because they're funnier on there, because they actually say shit that they're saying, not from a script from Airsword, whatever the fuck, I don't even fuck what his name is.
Vampire Weekend guy.
Yeah, Vampire Weekend guy, if I want to watch anime on Netflix, I watch The Witch Academia, which is actually the best show, the best anime of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Just anything other than this, man. Like, this is such a waste of time, of resources, of just the talents of Kazuhiro Furuhashi and Junji Nishimura. Like, really, did you guys have nothing else going on in your lives? Did you really need a paycheck that badly?
I mean, ain't they doing shit in Studio Dean? Aren't they doing some shit in Studio Dean? I don't like that studio. They gotta be doing some shit.
Sakamoto Season 2 confirmed.
Oh, fuck you.
It's funny because Mark has bad taste.
And so do you.
We all have bad taste. We're all trash boats here.
Someone say trash boat? That's actually my legal name now. Actually, I'm probably going to change it to Nia Reish for reasons. Oh, no, wait. I'm changing my name to Big Toblerone.
I thought you changed my name to Old Money Fuckboy.
That too. Actually, I'm still trying to figure out what my Halloween thing is going to be on Twitter for the month. I got nothing.
So am I. At least after the...
After the birthday, right.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you can't do Mac Boo Pointo.
I was thinking something like Hacksaw, but Mac.
Oh, Mac that makes sense. 2.0.
I'd say keep the 2.7 for a while, but just don't microwave an airbag. It will explode.
That's true. It will.
Who the fuck does that?
People on YouTube because reasons.
Because science.
Ah, man, this... But that we got that out of the way. I feel better now. I feel like I caught up on the thing I was supposed to. And now we just got one last thing to take care of for this week, and that is the new album releases for the week of October 6, 2017. Starting from the top, we have Poppy.Computer, the debut album from pop singer Poppy, and I'm sure Alex and I will be all over that one.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, meme reviews are the future. Then we have the sophomore effort from synth pop act Sound of Sarahs with The Twin. Newest album from Indie Rockers Cults with Offering. The New Monday, the fourth and latest release from Ghostly International producer Shigeto. August Burns Red with their latest album, Phantom Anthem. The metalcore act Ongoing Concept with their newest album, Places. The Black Dahlia Murder are back to fucking shred things up with their newest album, Nightbringers. If you still give a shit about this guy, Marilyn Manson drops his latest album, Heaven Upside Down. Hopefully he doesn't drop the album on himself, because reasons.
Yeah.
We got a new album from those guys who believe in a thing called love, The Darkness, with Pinewood Smile. I believe in a thing called love, and I don't feel like it. Or something like that. We have the latest collaboration between rappers Crazy Bone and Young Noble with Thug Brothers 3. Is that subtitle from Rags to Bitches? We have the solo album, the debut solo album from The Potato, from Liam Gallagher with As You Were.
Boo! Piss! Boo!
And last, and absolutely by every definition of the word, least, the latest solo album from Gwen Stefani with You Make It Feel Like Christmas.
But is that shit still bananas?
Where's the Christmas album?
Let us have October. God damn it.
Tell that to Walmart. And literally every other department store in the country and world.
Walmart can eat my ass. But now that clears that up, so now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internets?
Aura of Azure on Twitter. I'm selling video games because I need money. And that's all I got. Okay, bye.
Mark, what about you?
Of course, on Twitter via Mac2HyperMedia, and my birthday's tomorrow, or at least, well, tomorrow, but you know, fuck, I'm 27 now, by the point of this thing. Anyway, my site, mynightone.wordpress.com, doing time of season, this come this week, new anime coming up, all that shit.
Yeah. And as for me, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Rob Barracuda. Email me if you have any questions, inquiries, requests, or dank memes to robert@surrealresolution.com. Subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video goes up every Friday on my YouTube channel. Just search Rob Barracuda or Decibel Boost, and you'll find it there. Be sure to subscribe and hit the bell tab so you're always notified whenever new episodes of the podcast go up. And of course, this is the official music podcast of Surreal Resolution. Follow on Twitter at Surreal Rezo. Like us on Facebook. Be sure to visit us online at www.surrealresolution.com and find the podcast on decibelboost.surrealresolution.com. Go through all our archives and be sure to listen to our other great podcasts as well. I actually recently got to appear on the training stage to finally exact some sweet to bloody vengeance. Of course, be sure to also listen to Salty Flicks if you like movies, and Podcast ONA if you like anime.
We did 2 episodes last week. They were a lot of fun.
Yeah! And be sure to check out our great written content. My Hero Academia write-ups are coming to an end soon. I'll have an album review of the new debut album from Igloo Ghost. Spoiler, it might actually be the best electronic music album of the year, probably.
Yeah, it's pretty good from what I heard of it.
And you'll be able to read that. And my review of Metroid Samus Returns. Spoiler, it's really good. Be sure to jump into our Discord chat, and this time, I promise we're going to start being more active in there. We had a staff meeting, and it's going to happen. And, of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. That'll about do it for this week. So, until next time, you don't deserve this. Actually, no, I'm not doing that. Fuck, it's over wrong.